Dearly beloved, the prophecies referring to our Lord were clear enough to convince people that what Jesus and the apostles said was right. It's not as if everyone read the Old Testament and had no idea that the Messiah would come, die, and rise. It's not as if Christ came and convinced everyone that he had the Holy Spirit and therefore they should read the Old Testament in a new way, Christologically. Rather, he appealed to the Old Testament prophecies to prove his doctrine and person. That's what we have here in this passage from Malachi 3, preached about BC 430, a clear testimony to the Christ and his forerunner, John, a prophecy full of comfort. First, Malachi says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." The Lord will send his special messenger to prepare his way. In the next chapter, in chapter 4, Malachi says, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." Elijah did not come in his own person, but John the Baptist did come in the spirit and power of Elijah. That is, the person of Elijah did not come, but someone came fulfilling Elijah's office. Over and over again, the Lord Jesus confirms that this fulfillment was in John. In Matthew 11, he says, "This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." And John's father, Zechariah, sang, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you shall go before the Lord to prepare his way." But if an ambassador is sent to prepare the way, if a legate is sent to get things ready, then the one who sent him is not far behind. And so Malachi continues, "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." The coming one is the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. This is not two persons, but only one. As the Hebrew grammar and word order reads, this is clear. Both of those titles belong to one person. He is both Lord and messenger. That already is a mystery. He is sent by God with a message, but he is at the same time the Lord himself. He is both Lord and legate. His nature is Lord, his office is messenger. And he is the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger in whom you delight. I think that there are probably two kinds of lords, or bosses, or profs, even. The kind that you seek, and the kind that you want to avoid. Now, a normal person that you seek, well, you seek him because he's needed, or he's fun to be with, or attractive in some way, or you expect good things from him. A Lord whom you seek, well, why would you seek him? Any of those reasons, plus one, for protection and deliverance. If you are a peasant who has a Lord, if you are oppressed, harried, cheated, beaten, starving, naked, cold, and about to die, but you have a Lord, and he is a Lord you seek, well, then you are seeking him because he can help you, and he wants to help you. So, thus is your Lord. Dearly beloved, that is the kind of Lord you have. He is the Lord you seek, the messenger in whom you delight. He is kind to you. He will protect you. You can put your trust in him to take care of everything. Rest in his lordship and pray, "Thy kingdom come." This, by the way, is how the Lord God has always wanted to act. He is always the one who brings his kingdom near. At the time of Moses, at the end of Exodus, he did this with the tabernacle, filling it with his presence in order to receive sacrifices, hear prayers, and give blessings through his priests. And so Malachi continues and says, "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." He said this not when Israel lacked a temple. He said this when the second temple was up and running, when they believed that God was already in his temple, hearing and blessing. So this is a different temple, a different kind of temple. This is a temple to which God would come right on the heels of sending his forerunner. That is to say, this is the incarnational temple. This temple is the holy body of Christ, of which our Lord said in John 2, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." Suddenly, that is right on the heels of John the Baptist, the Lord will come to his temple. And here he is. The one who heard prayers in the tent and temple now dwells among men. He's accessible to you to hear your prayers, receive your sacrifices, and give you his blessing through his preachers, the New Testament ministers, the sons of Levi. But why does the Lord come suddenly to his temple? It's not so that you can go on despising his word. It's not so that you can to leave you in your lusts, rage, self-centeredness, and greed, but to purify you. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. St. Augustine and the Roman Catholic Church were confused about this passage. Our dear Father Augustine in the City of God thought that this might be talking about purgatorial fire in the end times as part of Judgment Day, by which we would be made pure for heaven. And the Roman Catholic Church built a house of cards on this until they had their doctrine of purgatory. But verses 1 through 4 of this chapter deal with the first advent of Christ. Only starting at verse 5 does Malachi speak of the second advent and the last judgment. Instead, the purifying and refining is happening right now in the temple of the Lord. Like a refiner's fire and like detergent, bleach, and soap, the Holy Spirit is actively cleansing hearts. There is hope for you. The Lord has plans for you. Only do not despise his cleansing spirit and the means by which the Spirit works. Do not despise the Word of God and the blessed sacraments. Open your hearts and pay close attention. Turn away from your lusts and vices. Confess and be absolved. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord. Dearly beloved, before your sacrifices can be pleasing, you must be purified. And for this, the Lord came to his temple, gave the temple of his body to be destroyed, and raised it in 3 days. You must be purified, and then you can offer pleasing sacrifices. As the writer to the Hebrews said, "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Through him, let us offer sacrifices of glorification to the Father in the power of the purifying Holy Spirit. Amen."